Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you're listening to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the Family Health Matters program, a program that's normally played or takes place at this time every Wednesday afternoon. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm Sister Zeenat, and once again, I'm delighted to be in your company for the next hour, inshallah. Now, what you can look forward to, in the first part of the program, the first slot, is today I'm sharing with you some health news and notes to take note of. Some health news to really take note of. And in this slot, I'll be talking about your eyes. Seven reasons why you should look after your eyes and have regular examinations. We're going to go some news on the stomach, and we're looking at the nervous system and its connection between the nervous system and the irritable bowel syndrome. So we can look at that. We also have some important news on EMFs. Frequency. So that's something that many of us, or all of us, should be aware of. So I'd like to share that with you. And also, if we have time, I'm going to look at something about vitamin B12 deficiency. So that's a few of the things that I would like to share with you in the first slot of this program. Just some health news to take note of. Inshallah, in the following or the next slot, that would be around about 2:30, I'll be speaking to Dr. Martin de Villiers, who is a specialist in family medicine, and we're going to be talking about antibiotic resistance. Now, I don't know if you know about this, but it's World Antibiotic Awareness Week. It's from the 16th of November until the 22nd of November. So some very important news with regards antibiotic resistance, and I think that's also a very pertinent topic. We need to know about that. So we'll have Dr. Martin de Villiers with us online, inshallah, when we talk about that. So yes, let's get back to health news to take note of. Now, did you know that 80% of visual impairment is avoidable, really, or rather, readily treatable, and it's also preventable? So 80% of visual impairment. So let's look at some, seven reasons why you should look after your eyes and have regular examinations. Firstly, think about this. If you lose your eyesight, remember, it may never be reversed. So once your eyesight is gone, it may never. Sometimes yes, but sometimes it may never be reversed. So do you want to take that chance? Definitely not. The second point is that good vision allows a better quality of life. How true is that? You know, sometimes we take our eyes for granted. It's only when there's a problem with your eyes or when you need to start wearing spectacles that you realize that, you know, when I did have my good eyesight, we didn't take care of it. Now, sometimes it's not your fault, obviously, if you do have a problem with your eyesight. But the thing is, if you are negligent and you do lose your eyesight for some reason or the other, you feel so bad about that. But the thing is, you should be taking care of your eyesight at all times. And obviously, if you have good eyesight, then you have a better quality of life. You know, I know so many people that want to play sport or even play sport, but have a problem because they have to wear spectacles sometimes. I know there's other ways of improving your eyesight too. I know people can wear contact lenses, but it's not all, you know, you can't always wear. There's some people that cannot wear contact lenses, or, you know, you cannot see properly when you are doing something, especially where sports is concerned. When you are driving, you cannot drive if you don't, if you are supposed to be wearing your glasses and then, you don't have them on. That can lead to so many problems as well. There's so many, many things that we, you know, that the quality of your life is not the same if you have to wear spectacles or even contact lenses for that matter. And it becomes such a problem. If you don't have them on with you, you can't see well. Your eyesight is not good enough. The third point is, unlike a toothache, your eyes don't necessarily ache when something is wrong. Well, that's so true. You know, something you wouldn't know that you have an eye problem because you're not going to, feel that much pain. It's not like they say a toothache where you will certainly know you have a problem. It's only when you go for your regular eyesight, for your regular checkups, where your eyes are concerned, that you would know that, you know, okay, there's a problem and we need to, fix it before it gets worse. And of course, that can be done sometimes. And you know, so many other diseases of the eye can be prevented if you go for regular checkups. An eye examination can detect early signs of serious eye conditions. And of course, some of the conditions would be cataract, glaucoma, and macular degeneration before you're aware of any symptoms. Once again, you know, sometimes what happens is you just get up in the morning and you cannot see and you don't know what the problem is. And if you don't get help immediately, you can actually lose your eyesight if sometimes it is not too late already. So an eye examination can always detect early signs of serious eye conditions. And remember, it's like I said earlier, it's not like a toothache where you would find, you know, just have severe pain and then you'll know, okay, I have a toothache and I need to have it extracted or I need to have it seen to immediately. The fifth point is that an eye examination includes a general health check for injuries and abnormalities. So when you do go for, just an eye examination, it would also sometimes, it includes a general health check for injuries and abnormalities. So they would look out for any kind of injury or any kind of abnormality in the eye. And if, you know, this is detected early, obviously it can be treated earlier and you can have better results. Sometimes complete, it can be treated completely and you will have your eyesight back again. And if not, you can prevent it from getting worse, alhamdulillah. So an eye examination is absolutely vital. They say the earlier the detection of a problem, the better the chance of successful treatment. So if you obviously go in earlier for your checkup, any problem can be detected earlier, inshallah, and of course the treatment then will inshallah be successful. And the seventh point is, optometrists are often the first healthcare professionals to detect chronic systematic diseases such as high blood pressure, diabetes, and cholesterol. So they say that many of your diseases can actually be seen through the eye. So obviously they say the optometrist is sometimes the first person to pick up some of these problems, and some of them are high blood pressure, diabetes, and cholesterol that can be detected very quickly through the eyes. Regular eye examinations are important regardless of one's age or overall health. Optometrists, like they say, generally recommend that most people should get their eyes tested every 2 years. In some circumstances, they may recommend more frequent eye examinations, especially if you are, number one, if you are a child wearing spectacles, you need to get your eyes seen to more regularly. If you have an illness called diabetes, you need to have your eyes obviously seen regularly. If you are older than 40 years and you have a family history of glaucoma, then you also need to have your eyes seen to very regularly. And of course, if you are age 70 and older, then of course you also need to have your eyes seen to regularly. Now it is important, to have your eyes seen to, inshallah, if not in the next few weeks, but definitely in the new year, we will certainly be doing more programs on your eyes, inshallah. then these are very important for us to remember. So your eyes, you know, you should prioritize where your eye care is concerned. I mean, can you imagine not being able to see? That would really, really be, you know, it'll definitely, your quality of life will change, you know, drastically if something like that has to happen. Inshallah, it definitely will not. Okay, then another important health note that I would like to bring to you is with regards your stomach. It's the connection between your nervous system and your irritable bowel syndrome. Now, they say few people realize that the intestinal tract has its own nervous system that communicates directly with the brain. I didn't know that until, of course, I read it. Because of this unique nervous system, one of three people with irritable bowel syndrome often have intensified responses to abdominal distension or movement that can result in the brain receiving distressingly wrong pain signals. So there is a connection between the nervous system and the irritable, of course, your bowels. Now, what really causes irritable bowel syndrome? They say the irritable bowel syndrome has multiple potential mechanisms in different individuals, all of which produce approximately the same set of symptoms. Potential causes can include everything from hidden food allergies or sensitivities to insufficient function of the pancreas, to infection with a number of common intestinal parasites. So, yes, these are some, there's actually so many different causes of irritable bowel syndrome. And as we all know, that most of our diseases start in the stomach. And of course, what it really means that whatever we take into our stomach, so the food that we eat, sometimes is the main cause of all the problems that we have. And of course, from there, so many things can go wrong. So it's so important for us to obviously make sure that the food that we eat is the right food. So what we take in is going to, be the end result of what all our different problems are. And we hope that, of course, it's not the same with everybody. Then we have another one that I want to share with you also. It's vitamin B12 deficiency. Now, they say aging individuals and vegetarians are at significant risk of vitamin B12 deficiency. Instinctive factor, a compound secreted by the cells lining the stomach, is crucially important for the absorption of vitamin B12 from the small intestine, but diminishes as your body ages. And worse, it is estimated that up to 30% of individuals over the age of 50 secrete low amounts of stomach acid, further decreasing bioavailability of vitamin B12 from food. Deficiency of vitamin B12 affects the peripheral nerves, later resulting in impaired mental function. So what happens then? You become, your thinking becomes slower, you become a bit confused, and you have memory lapses. And these are some of the things that normally affects us as we age. So, you know, if we want this not to happen to us, then it's important for us to have enough of vitamin B12 in our system. Now, obviously, if you want to know more about that, you need to obviously contact your medical practitioner. Now, a very, very important one that I thought I also want to share with you, this is also some health news, and it is very important to us. It's regarding the EMF frequencies. Now, they say the pineal gland reacts to EMF frequencies in the same way it reacts to microwave and light frequencies. Now, when we sleep, our eyes send a signal to our pineal gland, when it is dark, to start producing melatonin. So when we sleep, this gland obviously sends a message or signal, and then the melatonin starts producing. However, if you are next to your cell phone when you are sleeping, and I think we are all guilty of this, we all of us have our cell phones right next to us when we go off to sleep, instead of putting it away from us. Obviously we use it for the alarm system, of course. We use it as an alarm, and there's many people that use it to do so much of research and so much of work on that phone all the time, and of course some of us are just there to use it for fun. But anyway, all of us use, keep our phones right next to us. Now, yes, that is when we are sleeping, but your eyes may be interpreting the high frequencies as light frequencies to your brain, will not receive this message, and therefore no melatonin will be produced. When we have these phones next to us, what happens is our eyes interpret the high frequencies as light frequencies. So our brains will not receive this message, and we have no melatonin that will be produced. Melatonin is extremely important to our health. So limit your cell phone usage. Try not to keep it on you when it is not in use, and be sure to keep it out of your room while you sleep. Not even in your room. We need to keep it out of our rooms. I wonder how many of us will actually try this out. So what we need to do is to actually keep the cell phone out of our rooms, not right next to us when we are sleeping. So that, I think, is some very important news that I did want to share with our listeners out there. Well, there's still some other news. Maybe I can share one or two of the others as well. Lycopene is not just for the prostate. Prostate cancer is the disease that is best known as a target for prevention by lycopene. But lycopene is also associated with preventative effects against breast, cervical, lung, and colon cancer. Research indicates that people with the highest blood lycopene levels also have greater glucose tolerance than do those with lower lycopene levels. Diabetics with healthy eyes were found to have higher levels of lycopene than those with the blindness-inducing condition called diabetic retinopathy. And similarly, diabetic neuropathy, a painful and debilitating nerve condition that is among the hardest of pain syndromes to treat, is substantially ameliorated in animal studies of lycopene supplementation, and the cognitive decline associated with the diabetes can be decreased with long-term lycopene supplementation. In human studies, supplementation with tomato products decreased total cholesterol by 5.9% and LDL cholesterol by 12.9%. So yes, that's some of the news, health news, and important health news that one should actually be taking note of. Yes, we're going to take a break, and when we return, inshallah, we're going to be talking to Dr. Martin de Villiers, who is a specialist in family medicine, and we're going to be talking about antibiotic resistance. And like I said earlier, it's World Antibiotic Awareness Week from the 16th until the 22nd of November 2015. And I'd like to know, what antibiotics are actually all about and what antibiotic resistance is all about. So if you have any questions, you can feel free to contact us on the number 0811-854-1548, and of course you can also call me on or SMS me or WhatsApp me on the number 082-84-92-786 with any of your questions with regards to antibiotics or antibiotic resistance. Stay with us. We'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Family Health Matters. I'm your host, Sister Zainab. Well, it's World Antibiotic Awareness Week, and it's from the 16th until the 22nd of November 2015. World Antibiotic Awareness Week aims to increase awareness of global antibiotic resistance and to encourage best practices amongst the general public, health professionals and policymakers to avoid the further emergence and spread of antibiotic resistance. A global action plan to tackle the growing problem of resistance to antibiotics and other antimicrobial medicines was endorsed at the 68th World Health Assembly in May 2015. One of the key objectives of the plan is to improve awareness and understanding of antibiotic resistance and the consequences therefrom through effective communication, education and training. Joining me online from Cape Town is Dr. Martin de Villiers, who is a specialist in family medicine. Good afternoon, and thank you so much, Dr. de Villiers, for joining us this afternoon.
Hello, Zinat, and thanks. This is really a pleasure to be able to talk to you about this very important subject.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we're not going to waste time because we don't have much time to talk about it, and I'm sure if we had more time, we could have gone on forever. But Dr. de Villiers, I think for the benefit of all of us, especially me, what exactly are antibiotics, and, you know, why should it be handled with care, as the theme of the campaign suggests?
Yes, and the important thing in that is antibiotics are very important chemicals. They are chemicals that fight bacteria or viruses, and actually assist us when sick, when infected by those bacteria or fungi or viruses, to get well again. So if we look from the time of the 50s when the penicillin was first discovered, people's lives has drastically changed, and we were able to save people's lives. Over the last 10 or 20 years, we've seen very little development in new antibiotics. So the world, in terms of the innovation around these very important chemicals, has come to a standstill, and therefore we need to make sure that this very important tool in the hands of doctors to help people who's got an infection, that we protect it as best as we can so that it stays effective.
Mm-hmm. Now, they talk about antibiotic resistance, Doctor. You know, what does it mean when we have an antibiotic resistance? And also, you know, has this become a very huge problem? Or how serious can it be?
Let us start by saying it has become a very serious problem. I think with the World Health Organization dedicating an awareness week to it, just tells you globally, not only in South Africa, how important it is. Mm. The important thing to remember is it is not your body that is resistant to the antibiotic. So it is actually the organism, the bacteria or the virus that is causing you to be sick that builds up a resistance against that chemical entity, the antibiotic. In other words, under normal circumstances, the antibiotic will bind onto the bacteria and will destroy that bacteria. And therefore, if we're infected, you get a great increase in the number of bacteria in the body. The antibiotic then, when you take it, when it is introduced in treatment, destroys those bacteria and you get well again. When bacteria become resistant against the antibiotic, they continue to get more and more in the body, and you actually get sicker and you don't get better in spite of the fact that you're taking an antibiotic. Now, how does that happen? Mm-hmm. And it happens over time, and the bacteria has various ways in which it builds up that resistance, and just two ways. Normally, the antibiotic binds to a specific site on the outer membrane of the bacteria, and the bacteria just changes that proteins so that the binding of the antibiotic cannot happen. Another way, for the most common antibiotics that we use, and that is the so-called beta lactams, and that is all the penicillins and the cephalosporins, and they have a very specific chemical ring, the beta lactam ring, and bacteria actually developed an enzyme that can destroy that chemical substance of the antibiotic, making it completely ineffective. So in time, the bacteria actually develops mechanism to fight the antibiotic, to actually fight back. And the result is that when we're sick, we cannot get better. And in fact, some people can actually die because of the infection that goes completely out of control. Now, the purpose then, and I think this is important, the purpose of the World Antibiotic Awareness Week is to eventually improve the outcome of patients who's treated for infections. And I think that is why it is important to bring to the attention of the broad public how important it is to go about very carefully with the use of antibiotics so that we can prevent the resistance from developing.
Mm-hmm. And antibiotics, is it, does it affect anyone, any age, things like that?
Yes, it can absolutely impact on everybody. So a healthy person who's sometimes admitted to hospital for a minor procedure, mm-hmm. or sometimes for a bigger operation or procedure, are exposed in the hospital to the so-called hospital bugs. And hospital bugs are multi-drug resistant. So in other words, they resistant against many, many different antibiotics. They're the so-called superbugs. Mm-hmm. So even if you go in as a healthy person for a small procedure, and in that environment you're infected, it can cause you to stay in hospital for a very long time, be very sick, and even die. So yes, it can affect anybody, and obviously, most of the infections, it's a question of it doesn't react to treatment, but we have seen with tuberculosis that it has become more and more difficult to manage tuberculosis because of the various drugs against which the organism has become resistant. And the other problem then is in the hospital environment, where it is very difficult because there's a lot of sick people, a lot of these organisms around, and it can affect a basically healthy person, and they can be very sick because of that.
Yes, I think that's one of the reasons, when they do specify in hospitals that children are not allowed in certain wards, or, two per person, or, all those rules and regulations that they have, is not for no reason. I think people should definitely take note of those important, notices in hospitals when we do go and visit patients in the hospital.
That makes a lot of sense. That is absolutely true, because people in hospitals' immune system are under pressure because they've had an operation, because they're sick, And one don't want to expose them in an area where there's a higher level of these drug-resistant microbes to get people exposed to them because of the severe impact that it can have on their lives.
Okay, so doctor, what would you say, what are the main causes of antibiotic resistance?
The most important cause, as is explained by everybody, is the overuse of antibiotics for causes where it should not have been prescribed. The most commonly used examples are antibiotics used for people who's got flu or people who has a common cold. Those things are usually caused by viruses, and viruses don't respond to antibiotic. So people take it for a day or two and then leave it, the antibiotic, and next time that organism, the real bacteria that's there but not causing the organism, the infection, gets resistant, and at the next time when they actually causes the infection, the antibiotic doesn't work. So it is not used where it should be used, and the second thing is it's not used according to instructions. So it is very important when your doctor prescribes an antibiotic that you follow the instructions in terms of the correct dosage, the number of times you have to take it, and the length of the course. And there's also one other thing is people tend, when they're sick, they go to the doctor to request information and assistance. And it is very important not to put the doctor under pressure to prescribe an antibiotic when it's not necessary. Patients frequently feel, I go to the doctor and there's an expectation that to get an antibiotic. The doctor will make a clinical decision on whether it is necessary, and you have to respect that decision by the doctor.
Okay, another thing that I've also noticed that happens very frequently is trying to get a lot of children on antibiotic for every little illness that they have. You know, would you like to comment on that, doctor?
Yes, there's a lot of debate on when to use antibiotics, and simple things like sinusitis and middle ear infections. The evidence in terms of whether antibiotics really help or doesn't help in those kind of diseases are really at the order of the day. There's some thought that even a middle ear infection shouldn't be managed by an antibiotic. However, and I must say, although that's an extreme case that I've mentioned, it is important to know that middle ear infection caused by bacteria probably does better with an antibiotic than not. But other upper respiratory tract infections, a runny nose, a slightly sore throat if it's not tonsillitis, sinusitis, can frequently be treated without any antibiotics. And I think that is the important trend. Where we don't need an antibiotic, we must not take it. Because, yes, there's great benefits in antibiotic, but also risk in using it. And one of the risks being that a resistance can develop over time. And when you really need that antibiotic, it will not work.
Okay, then another one is, Dr. R. You know, can one actually be naturally resistant to some kind of antibiotic? You know, maybe be allergic to a certain kind of antibiotic?
Your question was just?
You know, is it normal or can one naturally be, allergic maybe to some kind of antibiotic or the other?
Oh yes, that is absolutely a fact. and one need to be very careful, and your doctor will also be on the lookout. Now, the most commonly known antibiotic allergic reaction is the penicillins, but the sulfonamides, the older kind, also can cause that, and that is a body reaction to the chemical. While your resistance that is developed is really developed from the bacteria itself. So what we are on the risk side of taking an antibiotic, which is a chemical, is the fact that you can have an allergy, which in itself can be have severe consequences. We are concerned about bacteria, germs that develops the resistance against antibiotics.
Mm-hmm. Now, does the use of antibiotics in animals contribute to this problem?
It is certainly accepted that mm-hmm. the use of antibiotics in animal farming does have an impact, because it's present in the meat that we eat, and also very frequently in the manure that is used on vegetables and plants that is harvested and eventually also lands on our table. So it is very important to make sure that our food is well cooked, and also that we that the greens that we eat, which is so important, that it is properly cleaned before we eat it, because that is the way that we can ingest bacteria that has become resistant and then becomes resistant in our bodies.
Oh, that's amazing. Didn't know about that.
Yeah.
But what other factors can actually contribute towards antibiotic resistance?
Sorry?
Are there any other factors that can contribute towards antibiotic resistance?
I think the most important thing is the non-compliance in terms of how the antibiotics need to be taken. That is very important. We see it, as I've already mentioned, in tuberculosis, and that's why the direct observation of patients taking pills has become so important, to make sure that they take it on time and when they should have it. So those are most of the important reasons why resistance are actually developed. So we must make sure that we take it according to instructions, that we complete the course, and that we don't use it when it is not necessary. So one of the very important things is, when you're feeling ill, don't get antibiotics from your friend who had a course prescribed and didn't finish it, because it may not be appropriate for the infection that you have, and it may not be good for you at all. So it's very important to make sure that you don't use antibiotics when you don't need it.
Okay, so I think the most important thing for us to remember is that when we are prescribed antibiotics, is to complete the course, absolutely, to make sure, and then obviously to know that this is an antibiotic and it's just not maybe a pain tablet or any other tablet that we normally would think, because this is very common where you actually see people sharing medication, and we need to be careful. This happens sometimes in older people, where they actually would share their medication because it has helped me a little bit, so why don't you try, kind of thing.
Absolutely, I agree with you. That is very important. And I think again, if we look awareness, it is so important that we realize the importance of antibiotics and the role it plays for the health profession to be able to help patients to recover from illness. So if we don't really look after it, all organisms will eventually become resistant And then we have no tools in our tool bag to manage it. So it is very important to be aware, to understand when your doctor don't prescribe it. When your doctor prescribe it, very important that you take it according to the instructions. If you have side effects, to report back to your doctor. If you finish the antibiotic and you're still not better, to consult with your doctor again. And then all over and above all of that, it is obviously important to maintain as healthy a lifestyle as we can, so that our own immune system can be strong. A healthy diet, regular exercise, keeping our weights within the limits where we need to be, not to smoke, not to indulge in alcohol and drugs. So all of those parameters in terms of living a healthy lifestyle continues to be important. If your immune system is in good shape, it will help the antibiotic fight the disease when you get it.
Thank you so much. And if one would like to get more information, and I think it's so important for us to, like you say, you know, to be educated about whatever, you know, sometimes we are given medication, but it is important for us to know what the medication is all about, you know, and if we want more information with regards antibiotic resistance, you know, where can we get more information?
Yeah, I think if there's anybody who wants to know a little bit more or have specific questions, they can just email the question to health@oz.co.za.
Mm-hmm.
And we will respond then to the questions that come up.
Okay. Well, before we leave, Doctor, is there anything else that you would like to share with us that we as listeners should know about?
I think the important thing for me to say is we at the moment at we've had no new development in antibiotics for the last number of years. So it is very important that we make sure that we preserve what we have and make sure that we don't develop more of bacterial resistance as we continue. So be an advocate, I want to say, for the use of antibiotics very appropriately and not when it is not necessary.
Well, thank you so much, Doctor, for all that wealth of information. And I'm sure the next time we look at our antibiotics, we're certainly going to be looking at it differently. And we're going to make sure that if it was prescribed to us, we make sure we, you know, use it the way we're supposed to use it. And obviously not share it. I think that's important for us. I think that's a very important point, that not share your medication with other people.
Yep, I agree with you.
Okay, thank you so much, Doctor. We certainly,
it's a pleasure.
Certainly appreciate you coming on and sharing that information with us. And we hope to speak to you again in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, listeners, that was Dr. Martin de Villiers, and he was telling us all about the antibiotics and antibiotic resistance. And as we know, this is World Antibiotic Awareness Week, and I think it's important for us to know the important things about antibiotic, especially the antibiotic resistance. Many of us are prescribed antibiotics, but we don't really know how to use it. I think many of us have this habit of, you know, as soon as I feel fine, that's it, you know. I don't have to continue with the medication, but antibiotic is something that you need to complete the whole course. So I'd like to just share with you a few facts with regards to antibiotic resistance. They say that antibiotic resistance is one of the biggest threats to global health today, and it can affect anyone of any age in any country. So anybody can be affected by antibiotic resistance. Antibiotic resistance occurs naturally, but misuse of antibiotics in humans and animals is accelerating the process. So yes, be careful of that too. And a growing number of infections such as pneumonia, tuberculosis, the doctor spoke to us about it, and nausea are becoming harder to treat as the antibiotics used to treat them become less effective. And if we remember, doctor said, you know, there's only a certain amount of antibiotics that are available right now. They haven't progressed. There isn't more or more different kinds of antibiotics. It's just that what we have at the moment. And antibiotic resistance leads to longer, obviously, hospital stays, then obviously higher medical costs and increased mortality. So it can also lead to that. So we need to be aware of this. Just an important note that we have here, it says, without urgent action, we are heading for a post-antibiotic era in which common infections and minor injuries can once again kill. So, you know, if we if we're not aware of antibiotic resistance, then ultimately it can kill you. Antibiotic resistance is accelerated by the misuse and overuse of antibiotics, as well as poor infection prevention and control. Yes, so basically what our duty is then is to, you know, make sure that other people know about it too. If you've heard the program today, if you have anything of importance, should be shared with other people as well. Well, listeners, that's all I have for you today. Inshallah, we will be back next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.